Hi, this is Richard Campbell from .NET Rocks and Run As Radio here at the Dev Intersection Countdown Show. It's also the SQL Intersection Countdown Show.
That's right.
I'm here with Ms. Tripp. Kim Tripp, how are you?
I'm good. I'm very good. Thank you.
And you are the content planner. You do a lot of work for the SQL Intersection Show. And we always record a Run As while we're there.
Yeah, no, it's great fun. I've been doing this now for a few years, and it's so much fun for me because it makes me think about what is most important for kind of a wide range of SQL professionals, not just the stuff that I personally focus on, but like what's the direction that people need to know to further their career, like data science or Azure, or you know, what do they need to know in terms of version? We were just talking about this. I've got customers, and I'm sure a lot of people are still on 2000, 2005.
Yeah, sure.
But like, those are totally out of support, and 2008 is actually, and I don't think a lot of people realize, 2008 is out of mainstream support, so we are at a point where...
It is 9 years old.
And yet, it runs really well.
Yeah, sure.
It's pretty stable, and the bigger problem that I think a lot of people run into is they've got these apps that don't necessarily support later or newer versions, and they get stuck.
It's hard to know. It's not an easy thing to take an app and put a new version of a database on it and know what's going to happen.
Yes and no. I agree. There's a lot of backward. The SQL team does a tremendous amount of work to make sure that most of the common functionality is backwardly compatible.
And there is compatibility modes. Like you can tell a new version to act like an old version.
Kind of.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a misnomer. A compatibility mode is basically a way to have the syntax checking and parsing parse without the new keywords, so that if you have code in the older, using some of the new keywords in old code, it won't break that code.
Oh, good.
But you actually still get the new functionality.
Nice.
But they actually did add in 2014 some weirdness around compatibility mode and something called cardinality estimation.
Right.
And that's one of my favorite topics, actually. But I was going to say, the thing that's interesting and the thing that I don't think people realize is, you know, 2008 and 2008 R2 are supported, but not mainstream support.
Right.
It's only, you know, critical fixes, things like that. And the problem is, if you're not already thinking where you're going to go, by the time you do adequate testing, because even if there are these backward compatibility modes, you want to do a migration, you want to do a test, you want to test the entire application ecosystem.
Yep.
You know, you want to know what the heck is going to not work.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been telling all of our customers, especially if it's an in-house application, to not, unless they've already done extensive testing on 2012 and 2014, skip those entirely, because you can actually backup restore straight from 2005 to 2016.
Wow.
Yeah. And for a long time, the SQL team was saying you could only go two versions.
Right. That was always the rule.
Right.
And that's the thing. If you're on 2008, you're starting to look at it and going, do you know how much work I've got ahead of me?
Do I have to go to 2014 before I can go to 2016?
Exactly.
No. And there are other ways to upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even going to mention them. I'm not.
Really, this is the way. Take a backup, do a restore.
I mean, think about the concept. Take a backup.
Yeah.
Right? Duh. That sounds so simple and so... Who wouldn't take a backup? Yet I've seen people try to do upgrade in place, or people do detach and attach, and then something goes wrong, and then they don't even have a backup.
Well, really, you want to use a separate piece of hardware. Take a backup you're already making, and
I'm
just
so
restore it on a 2016 so that your production app's still running while you're doing your experiments.
You can even do, in some cases, high availability upgrades and have minimal downtime and migration over from earlier versions. That gets more complicated, so I'm not even going to touch on that. But but what I'm trying to get people to understand, and like going back to the whole reason I started this, is when I'm thinking about what goes into the show, what goes into the content, I'm thinking about, okay, what do people need to know? They need to know how to get off of the versions that are barely even supportable now. They need to be thinking about this. They need to be thinking about new features, features that they should take advantage of. Like, why should they move to 2016? I mean, well, they don't want to be behind when they upgrade, first of all. But there's features like Query Store, and we have sessions on Query Store. There's Column Store. We've got sessions on Column Store. I mean, those are two of my favorite features.
Sure.
But there's other features. There's Bob Ward's going to talk about all these little things that they did that are actually not so little that make SQL Server run a lot faster on 2016. So there's all these little things that are important to know to be able to take advantage of. So that's one aspect of kind of why you should come and get insight into SQL 2016.
Right.
But then there's the mainstay stuff, you know, performance tuning, troubleshooting. So we've got, you know, a track on that. We've got data science. And this is, even though data science is so fascinating to me, love it. The
statistics. What do you do with your data, right?
And there's so many just incredibly powerful features in Azure, Azure ML, and R that if people get a little bit of insight with the power that they have to analyze their data and actually really get better information out of their data, they can make it so much more valuable and perform better for them, right?
Well, you suddenly go from this, almost like you're a janitor. You're just keeping the lights on, keep the database running.
Well, that's one aspect, right? There's people that have to do that.
That's important. But when you can start revealing new opportunities to a business through the data that you have, like,
exactly.
I think we forget. You're collecting all this amazing information, and we wrote a few reports a few years ago.
And it often just collects dust.
Yeah, we're just collecting dust with it.
It's now like we have this great tool. In case, right?
Yeah.
But make it work for you.
Sure, make money from it. Like it'll make a difference to the business.
Absolutely. No, and that's the part that I really enjoy.
That's really cool.
I almost don't want so many tracks because I want to attend all of the different sessions as well. So I always tell people, you know, if you've got lots of people at the company, divide and conquer, and then when you get back, cross-train.
Yeah,
like we've had this discussion before.
Sure.
If you want to know something, teach it, right?
You have to.
And if you go back to the office with different technologies that you might know a little bit about, then you start to get everybody else excited about it. And the next thing you know the direction you want to take, you know which features to invest in, and then you can make much better decisions moving forward that are much more cost effective.
Absolutely. And we always wrap up SQL Intersection with this run as Q&A.
I love that.
So the last session before the close, I come out, we record it as a run as radio, but all of the folks that are focused on SQL come in, and if there's any question that hasn't been answered, they say other thoughts that they had, like what have you learned that's important to you, they ask it to all of you.
We've had so much fun in this.
So much fun. And I do the mic running. I'm racing around.
Yeah, you get your exercise
literally
for
running.
Sure. But I usually get the most harassment from Brent and Paul.
You have some famously long answers to questions.
SQL is hard.
It's complicated. There's a lot to it.
There's a lot of dependencies, you know, so it takes a while to succinctly answer the things on which that problem depends.
Absolutely.
To make the right decision in the direction to go. And there's often, very often, I would say almost never, is there only one right answer to a problem.
There's multiple ways to solve anything.
You know, do you want to pay more? Do you want to not pay more?
Yeah.
Do you want to architect more? Do you want to architect less? Do you not have the resource? Do you want to throw hardware at it?
Yeah.
Well, you better throw the right hardware at it, right? So there's so many different directions. But I was going to say that, the run as that we do at the end, and SQL After Dark are so much fun.
Yeah,
so
really
much fun.
A great time. And I encourage anybody watching, have a listen to the run as episodes we've recorded like that. You get a sense of what the show is like. And come and see us. We're in Orlando at the Swan Hotel, May 21st to 24th. And if you sign up for a workshop and the conference, we'll hook you up with an Xbox. That's at devintersection.com and sqlintersection.com. Register today.